Hey guys, and welcome back to Knucklehead Radio. Today I'm joined for my second episode by David Lawler, who you can find on YouTube. His channel is David Lawler, and he makes all sorts of Star Wars and Marvel and film content. David, how's it going, man?
It is going really well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and thanks for being here. I know you interviewed me a while back, and I really appreciated that, so I wanted to bring you on my show as well. Today's going to be basically Star Wars and basically Marvel. I know you're a big Marvel fan as well, so I guess let's just dive right into it. You know, the thing that everybody is talking about right now, WandaVision. What do you think about the show so far?
So far, I love it. I love the sitcom-style episodes, and then last week, amazing. It was a nice combination of like answering questions and also giving us so many more questions, and with all the rumors about what's going to happen at the end. Overall, this is just such a fun Marvel experience, and it's going in a direction that I'm thoroughly enjoying. It's the MCU can feel very stale, even though I'm a huge fan of that franchise. Overall, this feels like a good step in the right direction. Can be a little weird, too weird sometimes, and I kind of understand that criticism if you don't want to watch like a Marvel sitcoms, but I feel like it's a nice kind of facade, and then they can unravel some questions, explore Wanda's character. So overall, I really like what they're doing, even though sure, there's some complaints here and there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've really enjoyed it. I can understand how some who, you know, they want to watch a superhero show don't enjoy it, you know, because they're seeing this sitcom show for like the first three episodes. But this past episode, obviously, it was much different than the first three. It wasn't so much the sitcom thing as it was like this, you know, sort of like detective FBI X-Files sort of thing. And I think that's showing the more exciting part of the show. So we get this really fun styled show with the sitcom stuff, but now we're getting this other element to it as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how they balance those aspects. But I've really enjoyed it thus far, both of those aspects. And it's really interesting to see sort of how they're setting up this upcoming multiverse. It seems like this show is going to lead into Doctor Strange 2. Obviously, we know Elizabeth Olsen is going to be in that film, directed by Sam Raimi, who's one of my all-time favorite directors. I absolutely love him. And then that is potentially going to lead into Spider-Man 3, which could be this whole Spider-Verse thing, which I'm really looking forward to. Give me your thoughts on sort of how you think WandaVision is going to transition into these other things.
I'm not sure if this one will directly tie in. I know there was this TikTok going around on our timelines and stuff that people were making fun of. I don't see why it's that crazy. It was that TikTok comic book guy who was talking about maybe Tobey Maguire is going to show up. I mean, Elizabeth Olsen did say it's going to be a cameo on the scale of Luke Skywalker, so I don't see why that's an insane possibility. Probably won't happen, but it was just a guy having fun. Regardless, I don't think it's going to directly tie in. We're just going to be like, boom, you have to watch WandaVision tie in. I think that would just kind of complete Wanda's arc. She has now dealt with her grief, and then maybe that would just set her up. So I don't think it's going to be like a direct tie in where it's going to like almost start the movie. I think it's just going to have Wanda go through her character arc, which will allow her to be in the next.
Gotcha. Do you think that Wanda is going to become a villain? I know that's a rumor that's floating around there. I don't know whether or not I believe it. I mean, I kind of hope it doesn't happen, because obviously, you know, you don't want to see your heroes fall, but obviously she went through something very tragic, or she went through lots of tragic things. But what do you think about that rumor that's been floating around?
I actually haven't heard of that one, and I highly doubt they'll do something like that. Like, this is Marvel taking its baby step into doing something different, and it's still, like, really fun. I don't think they would, just in a couple weeks of Phase 4, just be like, guess what, she's a villain. I don't see it. What's been, like, the background of it? Or, like, something tied to the comics, or is it just, like, your speculation?
Yeah, so, I mean, with Wanda, I don't really know a whole lot about Scarlet Witch. I never read a whole lot of the comics before the MCU was a thing. So I don't know whether she, in the comics, becomes a villain or not. She could be a similar character to, like, Jean Grey, you know, from X-Men. You know, she's a good character, and then eventually she falls. But I feel like, you know, Wanda, especially now that, you know, WandaVision is like the first piece of MCU content in like 18 months or something like that, you know, everybody loves her. So if she really were to fall, you know, that could break a lot of hearts. And it's not sort of like Anakin, you know, from Star Wars. You know, we got the original trilogy first, so we knew Anakin was going to be a bad guy. If we had gotten the prequels first, I feel like that would have, you know, upset a lot of people. You know, so I highly doubt that they'll turn her into a villain, but I've also got my fingers crossed that they won't, because, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. So now that we're sort of diving into the future of the MCU and the state of it, how do you feel about, you know, sort of the direction that they're taking? Because obviously we know a lot of what they're going to be doing. They announced what sort of content they're releasing. Now that the Infinity Saga is over, do you think they're heading in the right direction?
The next phase is going to be a lot more project-driven, kind of what DC is doing, where it's more director-driven and project-driven. You have the Batman, which as of right now is not connected to the DCU. You have the Snyder Cut, which is, you know, this great thing that fans have been petitioning for. You have a Suicide Squad reboot with James Gunn. It's just very project-driven. And guess what? People are excited because the MCU is great because it is all connected. But now, just the novelty of superheroes coming together, that's a thing of the past. We have Endgame. So, like, big crossovers where you have 20 different setup movies so you can have a Justice League. That no longer excites fans. So I really like this direction where it's more project-driven. We have WandaVision, which is totally bizarre. We have so much stuff coming to Disney Plus. We have weird stuff like What If. So I definitely think they're going to go in a more project-driven route, maybe for the next year, but they're Marvel. They need those big crossovers, kind of TV events, where it's like you have to watch the whole season to understand what's going to happen. So maybe down the road in Phase 5, we'll start seeing more connective stuff. Like, I know the next big bad would be like Galactus or something. So once again, just like you, I'm not a comic reader, so I'm not like immersed in those worlds. So I'm really excited that it's going to be more project driven, made for the screen kind of stuff. So I'm excited for the future, even though we're past Thanos and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. Because like after, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, you know, that's like 22 movies worth of like interwoven like stories and coming together. So like honestly, to me, even though there's some bad movies in the MCU, and there are, like, that is one of the greatest accomplishments in cinema history, what they did with the MCU. But I think at this point, you know, Captain America, he's gone, because obviously he went back in time and he stayed there. Iron Man is unfortunately dead. And, of course, we have the tragic loss of Chadwick Boseman, which I would also like to talk about in just a moment. But it seems like this whole, like, large-scale interwoven story thing, to me, I just don't think can be repeated. It's certainly not in the same way. So this sort of project-based, you know, storytelling where it might be like a couple films tied together, or maybe it's just one film from one director, in this sort of way, I feel like is definitely the right way to go for the MCU from here. Like I said, I wanted to talk about Chadwick Boseman. Obviously, that's just a heartbreaking loss. I don't think, you know, anyone was expecting that. But obviously, you know, we had Black Panther 2 that was it was supposed to happen. Now they just announced that they are going to be making a Wakanda Disney Plus series. Do you think that the Wakanda series is going to be replacing Black Panther 2?
I remember seeing something a couple days ago that they're not going to recast him, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes. So I think it probably will replacing Black Panther 2. I haven't really, I just kind of saw the Twitter headline and haven't really watched any videos or heard anything about it. But I know I'm excited for the show, and I definitely think that this miniseries, I honestly have no clue what they're going to do. It's a daunting thing to take on because you have to tell a good story and also respect this actor that we tragically lost. So it's a very daunting project to take on, whoever's going to direct it. But I could see them maybe making Shuri the main character. Mm-hmm. But as far as if I think it's going to replace it, I do. But what's actually going to happen, I really don't have any good speculation.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing right after Chadwick unfortunately passed. Like, I had no clue what they were going to do. All I knew is that they needed to respect Chadwick. And sort of, honestly, I would go to the family and see what they would want to do. But I remember reading right after that happened that what they were planning on doing is not recasting Black Panther and not even making a different character Black Panther, but rather just making the second film about sort of Wakanda and the other characters like Shuri and M'Baku and characters like that. To me, that seems like exactly what Wakanda, this series, is going to do. That was the description of it. So I sort of feel like the series is going to be replacing the film, which actually I feel like for that sort of premise, it works better as a series, especially just how interesting Wakanda is and how beautiful it is. So are you down with the Wakanda series placing Black Panther 2?
Definitely, you know, like, just the same thing with WandaVision. Like, what can you do? You can make a movie about Wanda where she has to learn something about herself and take on a bad guy in the third act that has the same powers as her, or you can make a sitcom-style show where it explores her grief. Same thing here. You could make Black Panther 2 where you have to, you know, work around the loss of Chadwick Boseman, or you can explore the wonderful world of Wakanda in 9 hours. The second one sounds significantly cooler to me and the direction I want the MCU to head.
Absolutely. I guess sort of the last thing regarding the MCU that I would like to talk about is Spider-Man 3 and the Spider-Verse. I don't know. Like, it seems like Spider-Man 3 is going to be the Spider-Verse film. I've sort of always been on the side where, like, I wished Spider-Man 3 would be, like, one more solo film for Tom Holland and then, like, a live-action Spider-Verse film. But it seems like Spider-Man 3 is going to be that Spider-Verse film. But, of course, we're also getting tons of rumors that Daredevil is going to be in Spider-Man 3. And I just want to know, like, are you interested in seeing Daredevil in Spider-Man 3? I mean, Daredevil, he's a great character. I haven't watched the whole series, but I've seen, you know, a handful of episodes, and I totally get the appeal. But to me, it just seems like a lot. Like, you know, we're getting possibly Tobey and Andrew back as Spider-Man, along with Tom, and then, of course, a bunch of villains from previous movies. So, like, throwing Daredevil into it for me just seems like, can they really handle that?
I would be really concerned if it wasn't Marvel, or more specifically the MCU, because we had projects like Civil War, which is just unbelievably amazing how well they balance that. Endgame, mm-hmm. which I mean, focused on the main six, so that's not the best example. But I do have a feeling that, like, casting rumors such as, I'm forgetting her name, but the woman who played MJ in the Raimi trilogy.
Oh, yes, Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst, that's right. I think she's going to be more like cameos and stuff. So I don't think that every single cast announcement that we're getting is going to have like an integral role. It's just going to be kind of like when Doctor Strange is like looking at the multiverse, he sees images of them living their lives and stuff. But I could absolutely see Tobey and Andrew playing a big part in Spider-Man 3. As far as do I want a solo film, I would appreciate a nice Tom Holland solo film. But at the same time, I could take either. I really could. So I'm not on a definitive side when it comes to that argument. But as far as Daredevil, I could totally see them working him into the story. Him being Peter's lawyer, that's been discussed, you know, ever since the end credits scene. So I could totally see them kind of working that in. And once again, I do have faith that Marvel can balance the character.
Okay, awesome. So I guess we can move on to Star Wars now. And so this is going to be, you know, more of a controversial topic. You are a big fan of The Last Jedi. I am a big not fan of The Last Jedi. But there's been, you know, a lot of people over time, you know, sort of fighting about whether or not Mark Hamill likes his portrayal, Luke's portrayal in The Last Jedi or not. Honestly, for me, like, even if he liked it, it wouldn't really matter to me because I enjoy things how I enjoy them, you know? So I'm not really on the side of, like, I mean, I have said it, you know, Mark says he doesn't like The Last Jedi and he knows the character. But, like, even if he did, to me, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I'm just interested in your take. Do you think he does or does not? Because there's been some things on sort of both sides of the coin that you could point to and make an argument for.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love if he loved the Luke interpretation that I liked, but yes, he has made tweets like, I should have kept my silence till the film came out. It was a great character choice, and there's also interviews of him saying, like, it's boring if we just saw Luke training Padawans again, but he has definitely said more negative things than positive things, and I think that is his true feelings, which is fine. Just like you said, if he likes it, I mean, I wish he liked it, but I still like what I like, and I don't enjoy seeing Luke be sad, but I like the idea of bringing him back so we can be catapulted forward. And I know you generally are okay with the idea. You just don't like the execution. That's totally
Yes,
fine.
yep. Yeah, and there was, a time where I sort of thought, maybe Mark was coming around on the idea, and that happens a lot, over time. Like, look at Revenge of the Sith, it was hated when it came out, like all the, like the two prequels before, and now it's, like a fan favorite, like beloved on the level of the original trilogy almost. So like things over time can become more beloved. I don't know whether or not that will happen with The Last Jedi or if, Mark specifically came around on it. But it seemed like he was a while back, but then just recently there was a tweet about him in The Mandalorian, obviously, and he said like to Peyton Reed, "Thank you for making my character hopeful and optimistic once again." And obviously, the big divisive thing when it comes to The Last Jedi is Luke. And a lot of people saw him as hopeful and optimistic in the end, and that was his character arc. And a lot of people did not. So it's just weird to me. Like, if he does like Luke's depiction in The Last Jedi now, but he doesn't see him as hopeful and optimistic, that's just, it seems like a weird take. Like, I get if you love it, and I get if you hate it, but to me, that's just sort of odd. So I genuinely do not know his true feelings about Luke in The Last Jedi anymore.
I think he's definitely conflicted on it. I think it maybe comes more from a place of, this isn't the sequels that I think anybody ideally wanted, and I love Force Awakens and Last Jedi, but Rise of Skywalker just managed just to destroy my whole view of the trilogy. And I think even from the get-go, Mark was just really set. He never got a scene with Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. He never got a nice reunion scene for himself and the fans. There was this great interview when Force Awakens was coming out. Like, Rey and Finn spend their last moments with Han. They only knew him for like 20 minutes. Like 20 minutes, but he's making a point. But yeah, that's like totally right. So I think even from the get-go, it just kind of hurt with how, there wasn't that fulfillment in the trilogies, so to speak. So I think the treatment of his character was kind of the nail in the coffin for him. Personal, of course. That's his character. He spent his life playing that. Like, he is Luke Skywalker. So I definitely think that he's still disappointed by that. So, and which is fair, just as the way you're disappointed by character treatment.
So now to bring it back to a more positive note to sort of cap off the end of this show. This is something that you and I are both super excited for, the Kenobi show. I feel like this is the most anticipated piece of Star Wars content, not just right now, but possibly since The Phantom Menace. Obviously, The Phantom Menace disappointed a lot of people back then. But like the anticipation to see Hayden and Ewan back, to see these beloved characters and Anakin and Obi-Wan. And there's a lot of people who still don't like the prequels, but are excited to see sort of this era that's like the prequels and the originals at the same time, and to be handled by, similar people that have handled The Mandalorian, that is, extremely beloved. So what are your thoughts on, Kenobi right now? There's a few pieces of controversial information that I'll bring up in a minute, but just let me know how you're feeling about it.
I am so incredibly excited for this project. I can't. It's everything that I want.
I'm super excited for this as well. It does seem sort of like the perfect blend between like prequel stuff and original trilogy stuff for me. And I think it's got a lot of people that are working on this that like, I really respect Deborah Chow. Obviously, she worked on The Mandalorian, and I think she's fantastic. They actually just hired a cinematographer. His name is Jung Hoon Jung, and he actually was a cinematographer for this movie called Old Boy, which is absolutely incredible, and also the It movie that came out a few years ago, which I really enjoyed as well. I do have some sort of concerns about the writer's situation, just considering there was obviously this whole behind-the-scenes mess where they had to, you know, rewrite the entire script. And the guy that they brought on, who is, you know, the only writer for it that we know of right now, his name is Joby Harold. He's only written, I believe, two things in his entire life, and he's only directed one thing in his entire life. And oddly enough, one of the things he wrote and the only thing he directed was starring Hayden Christensen. So I sort of feel like he was brought on specifically for Hayden, but it's just odd to me that he's like the only writer right now. Like, why would you leave, you know, something that is so huge for Star Wars right now in the hands of this one guy who doesn't really have, you know, a proven track record? I'm assuming there's got to be more people on board that we just don't know about yet. But that is sort of my one concern with it. I do think, actually, Hayden is going to have a bigger role than we anticipate. Not necessarily, like, a huge role, but I think he's going to be sort of, like, a looming threat in the background as Vader that we see every now and then. And then I think we're going to get a lot of flashbacks with him as Anakin, because obviously Anakin was such a huge part of Obi-Wan's life. But how do you think they're going to sort of balance the fan service aspect with all the flashbacks and whatnot, as well as like the important actual story in the present as far as like Obi-Wan dealing with his PTSD?
That's a good question, because as you were saying that, I was thinking, like, yeah, what are they going to do for 8 episodes? Because it can't just be Obi-Wan having PTSD. They have to have some kind of conflict, so I was thinking, did they bring Boba Fett in? Because from the few Star Wars comics that I read, that was something that Obi-Wan was kind of dealing with. I remember Boba Fett showing up, and Obi-Wan was there. It's been a long time since I read that comic. But as far as balancing fan service and the actual narrative, I do think it's going to be a very blurred line between the two. I think that the actual narrative will be a nice combination of fan service. It's weird because right now the only thing that I can really picture the show being is flashbacks as far as like what Obi-Wan will be doing week to week. It's weird. I've actually never really thought about that. Like, what will be his struggle throughout these 8 episodes? So I love to hear what you have to think about that.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I have thought about as well, and I can't come up with too many sort of things that he would be doing. Protecting Luke is obviously one of them if Luke were to be endangered, but I don't think you could, you know, do that like more than once. And supposedly, I heard this from Kessel Run Transmissions. I don't know if you follow their channel or not, but it's a great channel on YouTube. They are leakers, and they said that from what they've heard, that Commander Cody is going to be leading like a team trying to hunt down Obi-Wan. And so I think that's actually a really cool thing to bring in, you know, because Cody was his, you know, sort of right-hand clone like Rex was Anakin's, and now Cody's trying to hunt down Obi-Wan. So I think that's an interesting sort of plot point as well. But like you said, there's just not a whole lot they can do in that time period. So I think a lot of it is going to be flashbacks. But I just hope that they make it coherent, and I hope that obviously Hayden gets more screen time, because it's centered around Obi-Wan, and it should be. But you know, for me, like, Hayden really deserves his time to shine. Essentially, a lot of people hated on him for so long, and now they're bringing him back in this time where a lot of people actually love him. And you know, I just want the guy to sort of get his time to shine, essentially, is what I'm trying to get at, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, I love the stories of the prequels, and I love Hayden as a dude, and I love Anakin as a character. So once again, just like you said, I want to see him shine too. So
yep.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that this project is existing. And yeah, I'm just happy that they're not abandoning the prequels. And hopefully, you know, one day they won't abandon the sequels completely. Maybe they'll bring back like John Boyega or Daisy Ridley so they can have their time to shine again and give them a second shot. Because just the same way that people will still hate the prequels today and still hate Hayden today, people are going to hate Daisy Ridley and that whole cast ever. So
yeah, it's very unfortunate how, you know, things like that turn out. Obviously, as I mentioned, and as of course you already know, I'm not really a sequel fan. But like, you know, I love John Boyega and I love Daisy Ridley. And even though like I could not stand Rose Tico as a character, I think Kelly Marie Tran is a lovely woman. And so I really feel like all of these actors get so much hate, and it's so undeserved because, you know, they're just doing what they're told to do, you know, and I think they all did the best they could with what they were given. So to see actors like Hayden get this second chance, I feel like sort of every Star Wars actor that got, you know, so much undeserved hate, and a lot of, you know, these actors that sort of ruined their career, like Ahmed Best and Jake Lloyd, and a lot of it, you know, damaged mental health. So I just hope Star Wars and Disney and Lucasfilm as a company sort of treats these actors right. And I really hope that outside of just me enjoying this Kenobi series and being happy that Hayden and Ewan are back, I sort of hope that this brings Hayden back into the mainstream. And, you know, who knows, maybe he gets a role in the MCU or something like that. I think that'd be really cool. Sort of the last thing I want to mention about this Kenobi series is, obviously you're a prequel fan and I'm a prequel fan, but what do you think about sort of the Clone Wars cartoon series, Revenge of the Sith, and the Obi-Wan Kenobi series sort of being this different version of the prequels? It's obviously not George Lucas's prequels. I mean, he did work on the Clone Wars as well, but it's sort of like a different version of it. And how do you think that version of the prequels will compare to the original trilogy, as well as be perceived by the fans?
That's a good question. No, for me, the Clone Wars series is not only like my third or fourth favorite Star Wars content. I think it's like the second best Star Wars content.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so well made, well written. It fleshes out, yes, that these characters already exist, so it's not like pure creativity, but, you know, good shows don't have to just be like pure creativity. It's just, it's really good writing, really good world building. So yeah, it's funny that you mentioned these three different projects kind of making their own trilogy, and I really like that idea. And yeah, they can absolutely rival the original trilogy the same way that, you know, the original trilogy is kind of the love. I could definitely see this being the next original trilogy, and that's really cool. It's kind of letting Disney, you know, they had their fails, but I really think if they listen to the fans more, kind of do what the fans want, they could really make something great.
Yeah, and I think it'll be funny for a lot of people that hated the prequels so much, the fact that potentially a version of the prequels could rival the original trilogy now.
Yeah.
But as you said about Disney and Lucasfilm sort of listening to the fans now, I hear so many people say that, you know, that's a bad thing. And I really just don't understand why. Like, we're the ones that put money into their pockets and keep their companies going. So, like, why shouldn't they, you know, be making content for us? I mean, I'm not a huge DCEU or Zack Snyder fan, but, like, I was overjoyed when the Snyder Cut officially happened because fans were pushing so hard for that to happen. That's a win for the fans, and I think content should be made that way.
Yes, no, I agree. I really don't understand people who, like, vehemently just hate the whole Snyder Cut movement. I don't understand that. Like you said, you are paying these companies, then they should make products that we like, because at the end of the day, we're going to see them regardless, so why not try to service the fans? But I really hate when people try to bash Endgame in that argument. Like, what did you want from the 23rd movie concluding this 11-year-long project?
Right.
Like, you want fans to be angry at it? So I really can't understand the argument, but there also is a fine line, in my opinion. I feel like Luke and the Mandalorian was that fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Some people hate it just because it's so weird how Star Wars has almost become political. It's almost like if you like Last Jedi Luke, you can't like Mandalorian Luke, which is not true. I enjoy both. So there is like a fine line you want to cross. I'm trying to think of a bad example of fan service. Do you have one off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of one. Well, actually, I mean, yeah, Palpatine in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Just all of that. In giving Chewie a random medal, like, cute moments, but...
Yeah. Luke raising the X-Wing.
Exactly, with Yoda's score. And that scene was a mess for so many reasons. It was a cool moment, but like, what are they trying to actually say in that scene? Just kind of stuff like that, where it just kind of becomes more for audience going, oh, that's from that movie. That's where it really falls apart. But if it can tie it into a story and make fans just feel happy to love this franchise, then yeah, why not? Jerry John summed it up really nicely. He's like, people at Disney finally realize people like when their heroes do heroic stuff, and that is true.
I 110% agree. Like you said, Luke in The Mandalorian, that is fan service. That's undeniable, but it was well done. So fan service isn't inherently a bad thing. But other than that, I think we covered everything for today. David, thank you so much. Guys, you can follow David on Twitter at DavidLawlerYT, and you can look him up on YouTube. It's just David Lawler. Guys, thanks again so much for watching this episode, and I will catch you guys next time.